Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Ukraine's army really pulled off a huge surprise, big charge into Russia this week, and that's all the talk this morning. Let's check in with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joe, what are you learning about that?
Well, Bob, good afternoon from Kyiv, and certainly this is the topic of every conversation here today, and I'll do my best to give you as accurate a possible as possible picture of what's happening. We have news now that Russia, and we have evidence of this, Russia is racing to send convoys to the Kursk region. This is being reported in Russian media, either out of stupidity, unaware that they are revealing their locations, or maybe some kind of frustration with the Kremlin. But we see plenty of videos on Russian social media showing Russian convoys on the way to the Kursk region. We also have reports that possibly thousands of Ukrainian soldiers are in this Kursk region of Russia. Maybe even up to 6,000 is the number I heard. But, of course, no way to know that for sure. But there is good evidence that Ukraine now controls about 155 square kilometers of the Kursk region. And to put that in comparison, you know, this is just in a few days. The Russians control 150 square kilometers of the northeastern part of Kharkiv region. That's that region that Russia reinvaded in May of this year, just a couple months ago, and it had been liberated in 2022, and they reinvaded in May. And for several days, you know, there was a lot of expectation that, you know, the way Russians were pounding Kharkiv City, that the Russians were going to gain a lot of ground, and the Ukrainians have put a stop to that, and there's no further progress there. But here we have a situation. So we're about 3 days into this now, 2.5 days. Ukrainians have gained more territory than the Russians gained in May. And we also see a very different style of approach when the Russians, when they invade Ukrainian territories, including in Kharkiv region, they start to carpet bomb and, you know, really try to destroy city and villages. And what we're seeing here is much more precise attacks. For example, now there have been two Russian helicopters that have been shot down by Ukrainian drones. And these are the types of drones that even listeners to WGN Radio have purchased. No more than $1,000 each. A lot of them made here in Ukraine. And because they're, you know, made in Ukraine, Ukrainians can use them however they like. And so just imagine you know, the contributions of people in America contributing to the downing now of a second multi-million dollar Russian helicopter. We also are seeing evidence that Ukrainians are hitting Russian positions that are about 35 to 40 miles from the border. So still beyond where Ukrainians have ground control. Ukrainians maybe are just about maybe 15 miles across the border. But we see very precise Ukrainian hits on Russian military sort of convoys and other targets. Extremely precise, and you can't have that type of precision without extraordinary weapons. I think that's the most we can say about that. So, you know, that's part of the reason why, you know, when Russia has invaded places near the Ukrainian border and attack, it's often with very imprecise weapons, and that's why you see so much civilian destruction. But here we're seeing very precise attacks directly on military targets. So that leads to speculation of, you know, so what kind of equipment is being used. And so I'd say there's lots of good energy here. I mean, people, you know, Ukraine must have been planning this for some time and kept it secret. And we see that Ukraine, at least what we can say now, is that Ukrainians found a vulnerability. You know, instead of focused on taking back areas where Russians are currently pressing into Ukraine or areas from which, you know, where Russia is posing a big threat, they found a place that no one was really thinking about very much and pushed in and found that it was not well guarded. And those who were there seemed to be wanting to flee. Meanwhile, in Donbass, in eastern Ukraine, it's still very terrible and intense. The Russians have, you know, they continue to make the steady march toward that small city of Pokrovsk. And this morning, they hit the city of Konstantinivka, a small city. They hit a supermarket, and in this small town near the front line. I've been to this place. There are still people living there. The Russians hit a supermarket. At least 10 were killed, 35 wounded. And as a friend here in Ukraine said, when Russia doesn't know what to do, they just kill people. Sort of the mentality here. But I think we also see a lot of, this has, now that we see that there's at least some sustainability to what Ukraine is doing in the Kursk region, there's also a lot of humor and sort of, humorous commentary about it. And I think that's expressing the hopefulness that people have. But if we recall how, Vladimir Putin sort of unilaterally declared regions of Ukraine to be part of Russia, people are saying, well, President Zelensky should simply sign a proclamation saying that Ukraine has annexed this territory. and others have said, Putin said Ukraine must be within Russia. Well, now he's got his wish. Ukraine is in Russia. Ukrainian soldiers are in Russia. And so and then others are saying, why won't Russia just give up Kursk to Ukraine for the sake of peace? Just have peace. It's so simple, and it will solve all the problems, reflecting some of the rhetoric we've heard from pro-Russians these past 2 years.
We so admire the people of Ukraine keeping their sense of humor despite everything that's going on there. Earlier this morning, Joe, I was talking to a caller, and he was praising your reports here every day. And I said to him, and I'll say to you, it's gotten to the point now, we've done this since the beginning of the war, and I'm driving in this morning thinking of the weekend here, and we've got the Chicago Air and Water Show, and I actually start to feel guilty thinking about you in Ukraine and what everybody's going through there. And as I mentioned, with the political news and the Middle East, we sometimes forget about everything that's happening on a daily basis there.
Well, that's why I'm so grateful for this audience and these reports to be able to, in the great city of Chicago and beyond to give people a window into what's happening here. And we see, with moments like what we see now happening in the Kursk region, for those who've stuck with this, there's an inspiring story here, and there's a lot of pluck here. And even when things seem impossible, maybe there's always hope. And as we look to, I should mention, as the Olympics wrap up, I think this is the Olympics for Ukraine right now. Just watching what's happening in Kursk, and also being and never complacent, being ready any moment for missiles to hit us here sure. in Kyiv. But a member of Ukraine's parliament won a bronze medal in the Paris Olympics in Greco-Roman wrestling. He was born in Kyiv, son of a father from Rwanda and a Ukrainian mother. So even members of parliament here are able to excel in the Olympic Games. Maybe that's a reflection of some of the spirit that we see as Ukrainians continue to advance into Russia.
Yeah, I hope we've got a story here of David and Goliath and David winning. Great reporting, Joseph. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Till Monday. Thank you, Bob.